on 1116 SEN. League teams, Favogue's Draft, proudly supporting 130 Victorian local footy teams.
Welcome back behind the mic. Rowan Connolly, how are you, mate?
Good evening, Finey. Hi, everyone. Good to be back for another year of this great segment. We have a lot of fun doing this, and we have some analysis, but we have some decent chats as well.
Time's with us this year.
I saw that.
We're out to 2 hours. For those VFL fans, fret not. Nigel Carmody takes up his role as VFL commentator with Jason Bennett for Channel 7 on the weekend. First game, the grand final replay between Footscray and Box Hill at midday on Saturday. And 20 minutes on a Wednesday evening will be devoted solely to the VFL through the eyes of Nigel Carmody. And we'll be having great special guests, so plenty of VFL as well.
I actually found out the news that we're going till 9 o'clock about an hour ago. Fortunately, I don't have a life, so I'd much rather spend it here with you in the studio.
But you have an impending wife.
I do. And she was notified of this via text, and I haven't got one back. So
there's no tearing of clothes and gnashing of teeth?
No, not at this stage, but I'm pondering whether I'm going to have the Grand Angus or just the Angus on the way home, because I'm tipping it's going to be too hard to make dinner.
You can do better than that, mate.
Can I?
Of course you can.
I finished off the leftover lasagna for lunch, so anyway.
Who are you, Garfield the cat? There's 9 games and some amazing ins and outs.
Nick, can I just ask you, just before we start, how are your tips looking after 2 weeks? Because mine are up the proverbial shizen.
My tips are more off-putting than... Remember Guy Richardson played for Adelaide for a couple of games? Tats?
I don't think I do.
It was enormous. He had tattoos.
Oh, was he full forward?
Yeah, this giant full forward.
Adam Richardson.
Yeah, right. He had some tips in his hair. I thought, that's very strange for a man that could... eat raw steak with, just rip it apart with his teeth and probably opens beer bottles with his eye socket. Had some lovely tips. Well, they weren't lovely. They were horrible.
Oh, I reckon, 90s highlights sort of went with Tats a bit.
Anyhow, my tips are worse than his were.
So what have you got after 2 rounds?
I'm on 8.
Well, you're doing better than me. I'm on 7. I got 4 week 1 and 3 last week.
I got 5 and
horrendous.
3. Horrendous. If you've got more than... If you got 5 or 6 last week, you did well. If you got any more than 5 or 6,
you don't know anything about footy. Round 1, though.
There's a threshold last week.
Round 1 was a bit different, though, wasn't it? Round 1 was full of those 50-50 calls, and I just happened to go the wrong way on nearly all of them. And you know very well, Finey, once you get off to a bad start in the tipping, it's very, very hard to catch up.
I would have had a good first round had Essendon hung on, because I tipped the Bombers.
And that was a big brave call.
That would have given me a handy 6. And... basically, look, last week there were 8 favourites and a flip of the coin, and I missed the flip of the coin.
Which one was that?
The flip of the coin was Geelong Freo.
Oh, yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah, no, I got that wrong.
I missed that and nailed 3 easy ones. Boys tipped 8 out of 9 last week. Let down by the Hawks. Knock from Perth. Well, that means, look, St Kilda versus Gold Coast wasn't completely ridiculous. Gold Coast were very poor round one.
Yeah. Still would have taken... I mean, you had people tipping St Kilda not to win a game for the whole year, so it would have been brave.
And in hindsight, it looks obvious, but you would have thought Gold Coast would have bounced back.
Freo and Geelong was an interesting one, because it's sort of that thing about form versus history,
isn't it? I would have changed it had I known Bartel wasn't in.
That would have made the difference?
Absolutely. I was very, very torn, for starters. So when you're torn and Bartel's not playing, that's a good enough reason.
I get too wedded to history, and it annoys me. I hate myself for doing it, but... Geelong's record down there, I mean, that was the heaviest defeat they've had at home for 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, it was comprehensive. But the future's a mystery, history ain't. So you wouldn't back Germany in any more wars? Or you don't go that far back?
I tend not to tip.
Not that is the sort of history, just footy history.
Well, wars, I don't know if you tip a winner in wars, do you? No, I know what the answer to that is. There are no winners in wars.
If you live on the border of the two warring countries, I think you make a tip and a fairly quick one.
Like Switzerland.
This is good. Richo and his brother Luke are my local publicans at the Bush in Geelong.
Oh, well, there you go.
Oh, that's a ripping yarn.
Has he still got the tips? Anonymous.
I'm sure we've still got the tats. there's a round of football coming up with some teams already needing, they're teetering, but one team I believe has tottered. I will go out on a very, very sturdy limb and say that there are only 17 teams that can make the finals. And for me, it's when a team can't make the finals that really makes them the 18th team in the competition.
Mm.
And I am willing to put an absolute line through one of the sides in the AFL. And well, I've never done it after.
Well, clearly it's not St Kilda because they've won.
St Kilda won't. Gold Coast. For various reasons. I mean, Carlton have been very poor, but Gold Coast season is over. First of all, they've lost to Melbourne and St Kilda, which were served up to them sort of by a, let's just say, a
benevolent fixture.
Benevolent mum and dad. Mum and dad made them their favourite dinner to start off the season. So they were given Melbourne and St Kilda in the right order too. Played Melbourne at the MCG round one. You can't go wrong.
Mm.
St Kilda on the Gold Coast. They've lost the two gimmies. Ablett is out indefinitely.
Yeah.
Jaeger O'Meara is not playing. Jaeger O'Meara. Rodney Eade has already said 3 years, this list ain't what it seems. And
he does that, though.
He may do, but then there's also a notion that there's a new game plan that the players are currently struggling with a little bit. There's definitely some internal ructions there. Timmy Sumner has walked. Gary Ablett hasn't signed.
Mm.
And
someone was hinting the other day at some off-field distractions potentially among the playing list too.
There are groups within...
Of a philosophical nature.
Of a theological
nature. A theological nature,
not that necessarily would impact on the team, but I guess when things aren't going well, people look for reasons. There's also Harbrow's now out, and he's one of their prime movers. They're in a world of hurt.
Yeah, they are.
Gone, baby.
I just think talent dictates that.
And they don't have any.
Well,
they've got. And he's ridiculous. I take that back. They don't have anywhere near the talent that people assume they had without looking at their list. I mean, I've played to have a look at the Gold Coast list.
Mm.
And any person that I get. Have I sat down with you and read their list out?
No, but
we won't do it again, but during the break, I'll get you to read their list out.
Mm.
And then, so as we, before we go to the break, you think talent will see them through?
Yeah.
Well, they don't have anywhere near enough talent to put together a side that could finish in the top eight.
Where'd you have them pre-season?
12th, and I made a mistake. They'll be below that.
Mm. I had them 7th.
I was overly generous. You know, this is not... Football teams are not simply, lines on a graph. They're not curves on a graph that have to get better and better just because the numbers say that they're building towards it. And we all assume that the older they got, the better they got. They have made some horrible mistakes with their list. Their list is a shambles. Sorry.
So are you saying that, I mean, the consensus is they should have made the finals last year and would have were it not for Ablett's injury. How did they get to that point?
With Ablett and with Jaeger O'Meara for starters.
Yeah.
And with Harbrow and with more harmony than they've got now. And they did something extraordinary at the end of last year.
They were so
comfortable with what their list was. Not only did they not trade during trade week, I don't think the phone was on. They made absolutely no changes to their list. It's an indictment on them that Adam Saad, good kid, but a mature-age VFL player has waltzed past 70% of the list to be a regular in that team.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, that point particularly, there's a clear evidence of too many guys sort of drinking their own bathwater, isn't there?
Yeah, and there are guys in that
too. But can't you take from that? You can read that two ways, though. I mean, who's to say that the penny won't drop and whatever Eade's wanting them to do that they're not doing, they may in fact go, hang on a sec, we're going to lose touch here, and they will start doing it.
Our man, A-Rod, has a very good descriptive of most of their list. They have assembled a group of randoms. Their list is odd, to say the least.
I'll just play devil's advocate here. But I think
very quickly, Gary Ablett, out injured indefinitely. Jackson Allen, Jackson Allen was drafted in 2011. Now, that's actually last year's guide. He has been, he's been delisted, has Jackson. But he was there for three years. Did we ever see Jackson actually play a game of football? All right, let's have a look. Gary Ablett, out. Harley Bennell. What do you think of Harley?
Very talented.
Okay. He is very talented. He is very talented. Talent goes only so far in the very rough and tough world of AFL football. Andrew Boston, who's been promoted onto the list, has been there since 2013.
Yeah, I'm non-committal on him.
Clay Cameron has been there since 2012.
Yeah, hasn't done a lot.
Sam Day, an original selection. Number three overall, Sam Day. Has he blossomed into the footballer?
Well, all their key forwards have had injury issues, haven't they?
Sam, Charlie Dixon, he's been injured. He's a good presenting forward.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Garlett is a new player. Daniel Gorringe has been there since the beginning, number 10 overall.
Yeah.
He's a second ruckman. That he got dropped last week. I don't know what spot he fills.
Yeah, well, he's behind. You'd think he's behind Zach Smith and Tom Nichols.
Aaron Hall and Josh Hall, both of who are in their fourth seasons.
Third seasons. Hall's shown
Which
flashes.
One, Aaron or Josh?
Aaron.
He's not on the team. Mitch Hallahan, we'll see how he goes.
Yeah.
Played mainly in the VFL. Jared Harbrow's injured. This guy's been a bit disappointing. Cade Collins-Jasny?
Yeah, flashes.
Yep. Sean Lemons has been there now his third season. Yeah. Jack Leslie in his third season.
Mm.
Jesse Lonergan in his fourth season. Tom Lynch, anybody would want him. Nick Malcheski?
It's pretty handy.
Yeah, okay. But they picked up an older player. He's very handy. Jack Martin? Geez.
Great talent.
Very lightly built. I mean, yeah, I hope he comes
great
on.
Talent.
I'm not saying he won't be. Yeah. When did you see his great talent? Because honestly, his AFL football output has been. He got injured last year.
In the first game. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got injured. At the moment, he looks like a boy on a man's errand.
But I mean, if there's a recurring theme here, there's
hang on, Brandon Matera.
Yeah. Well, I like Matera. There's issues. No, well,
Stephen May.
I like him.
Trent McKenzie. I got rightfully dropped.
I rate him.
I got rightfully dropped. His effort against Melbourne was.
But he's got the talent, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I'm saying they're not hopeless.
Yeah.
Tom Nichols, backup ruckman.
Yeah, well, I like what I've seen of him.
But he doesn't play when Zach Smith plays. Jay Gray Mira out for the year. Dion Presti is a beauty.
Yeah.
Riscatelli, they rely enormously on.
Mm.
He's in his 30s. Luke Russell, now, he's been there since the beginning.
Yeah.
Has not gone on with it. Henry Shade has been there. This is Henry Shade's 4 years.
Mm.
The time he gets out of the shade. Played every game in the NEFL last year. Never got a game in the seniors. He's still on the list. Alex Sexton has been there for 4 years. Matt Shaw has been there for 5 years. Have these guys grabbed you?
I don't mind Shaw.
Yeah. I'm saying, well, they have to field a team.
Mm.
Zach Smith.
Yeah.
He needs to play better than he's playing. I think he is better, but gee, he's had a poor start to the year.
Soft-ish.
But he's better than that. Now, Danny Stanley's interesting.
Yeah.
He's still on the list.
Mm.
He came there with Josh Fraser to help them out in the first year. Timmy Sumner's walked. David Swallow, a number one national draft pick, you'd have him on your list, but I don't know whether he's been brilliant for a brilliant result. Seb Tape gets injured. It's a pity, but he's been there the whole time. Rory Thompson, who's a very good defender. Not got done by Bruce, but he's a very good defender. And Big Peter Wright, they've got great hopes for. That's their list.
I reckon... Well, there's a lot of players there who haven't maximised their talent, but isn't that why Rodney Eade comes to the club? And I think often in those circumstances, you can see a sudden and dramatic improvement.
Off the SMS, Malcheski and Hallahan both traded into the team. No, they were not. Malcheski was a free agent, and Hallahan was a delisted free agent.
Mm.
They weren't traded into the team.
But I think, you know, some of the guys we're talking about there, not so much Shaw, because he's been a regular, but... Luke Russell, those sort of guys.
Yeah.
I mean, aren't they the sort of guys who, had they been at a more established club, may have improved more rapidly than they have? I'm not trying to make excuses.
Compare
for them.
That to the GWS list. It glitters. It's gold. You just go to the play. You drool it when you read out their names.
they've had more guys come on more quickly.
It's a very odd list. There's so many guys there that have been there four or five since the beginning that aren't playing. They're just not in the team.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, that is a sort
That's their list. That is their total list. And when you take Ablett out of it and Jager O'Meara, by God, it looks thin to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, the proof of the pudding there was what happened to him after Ablett got injured last year. But I just think that Ead is the right coach for this group. And perhaps we're getting an example now of how...
I'm being told here that Hallahan was traded, so I apologise. I never thought he was a delisted free agent. Sorry,
I just feel like we're getting an insight now into how far removed they were from the sort of standards you need to play AFL footy. But I think that can...
And they made some blues. They had a free pick of everybody in Queensland, and they told Dane Zorko to walk. I just said they're not interested in you, mate. I apologise about Hallahan. Got that well wrong, sorry. But that's not the point. The point is, you know, Greg Broughton's on their rookie list. And Adam Saad, who was sort of one of the... Andrew Raines is there.
Yeah, I've forgotten about him.
It's an interesting side.
Are you really prepared to say, though, they're not as good a chance as Melbourne, so of marking the eight?
But they've had terrible... With Ablett out indefinitely and Jager O'Meara... Yeah, Melbourne beat them comfortably. Melbourne beat them.
That's true.
Melbourne beat them and beat them nicely. And Melbourne have still got players to come back in. I go and see what they've got to come back in.
Yeah. Look, to be honest, I'd probably be arguing this case more strongly if I cared more about the Gold Coast. But I'm pretty ambivalent about them, to be honest.
But this is a very important season for them.
Yeah.
I mean, this was very important for them. This is a franchise that has had, you know, tens or more millions of dollars, six figures.
Tell me this, Sam.
What do you figures?
What do you think GWS have done that they haven't?
They've really used that 17-year-old pick. Have a look at the 17-year-old pick was designed to give them first pick of more first picks.
Yeah.
Before anybody else got them, and their 17-year-olds are crazy. I don't know what they were doing. I mean, these 17-year they're sort of zone selections and their 17-year-old access selections are nowhere near as good as the other mobs. Jager O'Meara was a good one, obviously. Tom Nichols, Trent McKenzie, Brandon Matera. I mean, Matera and Nichols just don't get picked for them. That's their choice. They don't play for them.
Well, anyway. Nichols is one of the ins for this week, albeit it's a squad for Sunday. But yep. I like him, what I've seen of him. He's got a real sort of athleticism about him, I think.
Well, look, there's something there, but there's not a lot there. And by crikey, you know, damned if they don't this year, really. They can't afford to slide way back because she's a tough market, Gold Coast. It's claimed more professional sporting franchises than the Bermuda Triangle.
That's true. Look, just on the coach, though, we've got an SMS, someone saying, Ead was yuck at the Dogs when let go. Short memory, won't do a lot, and it's showing. That's pretty harsh on a bloke who got him into three successive preliminary finals. Now, his history is that when things sour towards the end of his tenure, they sour quickly, but I think his history is also that he's able to get sides very competitive and up the top echelon pretty quickly as well. So, I'd like to be wrong. I mean, I tipped him sixth or seventh or whatever it was. So,
I got a sense of GWS. They gave GWS a whole lot more in terms of concessions because of the perception that Western Sydney was going to be a very difficult frontier to conquer, which is correct. And the financial, even though they both were created to fill certain, you know, to serve certain masters, they both were created so there was weekly AFL football in the two northern states.
Mm.
They were created to jump into growth corridors. I think we get a sense that the GWS, the prize was always going to be the biggest and hardest to attain in Sydney rather than on the Gold Coast.
So you'd have your money on Gold Coast being a more successful long-term franchise than GWS.
They overlooked Heppel. Heppel was picked up by Essendon in the middle of Gold Coast picks.
Yeah, I'm a bit sceptical about those sorts of examples. I mean, every club's got a few recruiting skeletons in the closet.
Of course they do.
But back to what I was saying before, though. I mean, are you saying you see Gold Coast as a more viable long-term prospect than GWS, don't you, in terms of the marketplace?
Oh, it's very risky up there. Who lives on the Gold Coast?
Well, it's got more of a... But you know that football people have gravitated up there, whereas who's gravitated to the western suburbs of
Sydney? The football people that have gravitated up there are either in nursing homes or being marked by headstones. Yeah. Are they still alive?
Yeah,
there's no great exodus anymore.
I know.
The White Shoe Brigade,
yeah,
unfortunately, went there for a reason, because it was cold here and their arthritic bones hurt them. That happened in the 80s, and those arthritic bones are all that is left of them.
But what is the football culture in the western suburbs of Sydney?
Zero.
Yeah. So, again, would Gold Coast have... I don't know. Look, they're both in a cynical view, I think they're both facing long-term struggles to be viable.
And that's why it's harder for Gold Coast, who are given less concessions. Let's take a break. When we come back, I mean, people are certainly invested in the discussion. GWS certainly were given heaps of opportunities that I think were there because of, you know, the bigger prize, the financial bounty is bigger if GWS can stake a claim. And they came in and everybody knew straight up that Western Sydney Wanderers had captured hearts and minds already. You know, they're up against Rudy Hill for the Penrith Rugby League, and they're, you know, rooted if they don't have a really good run at it.
What about in a purely on-field sense? Like, someone's texted in, their list may be worse than Carlton and Collingwood.
Worse than Collingwood's, definitely.
You wouldn't say Carlton, though, would you?
Oh, I think Carlton. I think... How do you pronounce the name? Mark Lowe...
Lajudice.
Is that how to pronounce it?
Yep.
So it's L-O-G-U-I...
It's L-O-G-I-U-D-I-C-E.
So it's not pronounced Mark Matheson's mouthpiece? but he's sort of said that they've got the worst list, so... Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll kick it off with Friday Night Football, and for St Kilda fans, this is your one and only.
League teams, Collingwood. St Kilda.
Let's have a look at Friday Night Football, and we do so. We've got a great call team in tow. The A-grade, the A-listers are there. Hutto and Matty Granlund, Dermot Brereton and Cam Mooney, Rowan Connolly on the boundary, and, of course, a big pre-game with the coach's box prior to the match. It's a beauty. The odds are interesting. Collingwood $1.39, St Kilda $3. Marks Collingwood. That's pretty warm favourites in this one. Just talking to people around town, Collingwood and St Kilda supporters, I think they mark it a bit closer than that. Still, Collingwood would be favourites in most people's eyes. Let's have a look at the home team, the Maggies. From the back line, Alan Tuvey, Nathan Brown and Marley Williams. Half back line of Tom Langdon, Jack Frost and Jackson Ramsey. Centre line, Travis Varko, Dane Swan, Jack Crisp. Half-forward line of Jamie Elliott, Jesse White, Tim Broomhead. A forward line of Tyson Goldsack, Travis Cloak and Jared Blair. The ruck division, Brodie Grundy, Taylor Adams and Scott Pendlebury, with the interchange reading Sam Dwyer, Paul Seedsman, Adam Oxley and Corey Galt. The emergencies, Darcy Moore, Patrick Karnesis and Jordan Dugowie. In, Dwyer and Galt, out for solo omitted, Sinclair with a hamstring. And Corey Galt is set to play his first game for the Maggies.
Let's have a look at the Saints. Broke the ice last week. Great win. Can they back it up? From the back line, Dylan Robertson, Luke Delaney, Sean Dempster. The halfbacks, Shane Savage, Sam Fisher, Jaron Geary. Centre line, Jack Nunes, Luke Dunstan, Cameron Shenton. Half forwards, David Armitage, Nick Riewoldt, Adam Schneider. Forwards, Jack Loney, Josh Bruce, Tim Membry. The rucks, Billy Longer, Maverick Weller, Jack Stephen. Interchange, Jack Billings, Nathan Wright, Ahmed Saad, Jack Sinclair. The emergencies, Eli Templeton, Tom Curran and Paddy McCartan. Still not quite there. Into the side comes Adam Schneider. Out, Omitted is Tom Curran and Jack Nunes playing his 50th game for the Saints.
I'll give you first crack at Collingwood versus St Kilda, Friday night footy, and I think the good news is that no matter whether you think Collingwood or St Kilda are the better side, at least it looks like we've got more of a contest than we did on paper when the fixture came out.
You're right. And as you mentioned the odds, I suddenly thought I didn't really give this game enough consideration when I tipped. And I tipped the Pies, but really on form, it's a lot closer than those odds suggest, isn't it? St Kilda were great last week. I mean, Josh Bruce, you know, geez, Nick Riewoldt's going to be grateful for his support. And it's been a long time coming, but looks like he is a viable long-term forward. And just reading through the side, the talent that's been there for a couple of years or 1 year in one case, it's starting to stack up, isn't it? Almost on every line. Not so much a defence, but you've got Nunes now. He's a very established player. Dunstan, we know what he did early last season. Loney looks impressive. Weller, he's been a handy pickup for him. Jack Stephen continues to
Weller's
develop.
An interesting study. When from the Gold Coast, when Maverick Weller was shown the door at the Gold Coast, St Kilda offered the opportunity to train. And he was a rookie selection, really St Kilda's last pick. And last year, he was a desperate enough footballer, but he got a role as a tagger and more for his physical attack on the ball than actually getting the ball. Now, confidence is a lot in football. And when you don't need to worry day in, day out about being selected, it's a big, especially for somebody that can't afford to be playing in the VFL or their career will be over. It's the difference between potentially a 10-year career. This year he was elevated to the senior list and elevated into the leadership group. And that show of faith has been returned with much better actual football. He seems now to be confident and did a couple of very nice things on the weekend, played well in the first game, but he looks now more than just a battering ram.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I would have thought another good sign here actually is in the emergencies. Templeton, Curran, McCartan. Well, you've got, you know, number one draft pick. Curran, I like. I think he's been
solid. Unlucky to be dropped.
And Templeton, well, you know, he hasn't done a lot since that pre-season last year, but we know he's got ability. So the fact that they can afford not to pick those three has to be a good sign. The Pies, Dwyer, they go back to the well with him. Corey Galt impressed me in their NAB Challenge game against Carlton up in Bendigo. I thought he did a few nice things that night. Sinclair
now,
hamstring out.
This is off the AFL website, isn't it? The teams we're
Yes, it is. Yep.
Are they not?
Yep.
I've got a feeling Corey Gold played last year.
Did he?
I think he might have had.
Did he have play in the last game?
Yeah, I think he might have had a look at him there for a single game. Let's have a look. Corey Gold. I'll check it up, but I thought he actually was invited to have a little game last year. So Corey Galt has a career of one game.
Yeah, okay. Might have been that last game.
Yeah.
DeGoey, the number one draft pick, their number one draft pick, he's already played, of course, in the first game. But, they were impressive against Brisbane, but Brisbane's subsequent form makes you wonder how good a win that was. And they just got taken to the cleaners by Adelaide. It's one of the more deceptive 27-point defeats I've seen because Adelaide, I think the Pies kicked the last five or six of the last seven.
Well, interesting. The Pies kicked six of the last seven, and St Kilda had six of the last seven kicked against them. Would the odds be the same, if not for those? I wouldn't call them junk time goals, but goals after the fact?
Possibly not. But I think the odds sort of reflect the way we're, I don't know, just in our consciousness, we're often a bit slower to pick up on trends, aren't we?
That's the thing. It's hard to go from they're not going to win a game to they're even money against Collingwood.
Well, likewise, I've had trouble accepting Collingwood as being a side rebuilding. And I was very taken aback when people after the Adelaide game said of Collingwood, their effort was great. You know, it's a sort of condescending thing you say about a bottom four side, isn't it? Now, surely they're better than a bottom four side.
Especially because their effort was described as great prior to the last six goals.
Yeah, exactly.
It was their first half effort when they were blown off the park that was considered admirable.
But my point is, like, they were 8 wins from 11 games or 8 wins from 10 games last year. That's half a season ago. Have they really fallen that far in their output? I mean, are they really not?
Look, their midfield, there's no side bottom through injury. Levi Greenwood was a very important replacement for Dane Beams.
Yeah.
And Dane Beams isn't there. Collingwood's great strength was that midfield. We know the forward line, Travis Cloak, when he gets on a roll, is a good footballer, but it's always been, how do you combat Pendlebury, Swan, Beams, Sidebottom, et al. Now, add to that, no Sinclair, no Thomas, who also are smaller guys that can run through the midfield.
Well, you've just touched on an issue there, though. There's too many et al's now, isn't there? They've got this huge band of similarly players of similar physique, of similar experience, and none of whom have really jumped up and grabbed a spot permanently. And that's why I mentioned back to the well with Sam Dwyer. Now, he's done a bit here and there, you know. They've got too many guys like that. And, you know, it just makes me think about the long-term list management, that they hurried on a few of the older guys too quickly. And it's put too much pressure on these younger blokes without enough around them. And I think they're sort of treading water a bit, really. And they're not a physically strong side either, are they? They really lack a bit of muscle, I think.
This is what they have that St Kilda will find hard to combat. Brody Grundy, very mobile ruckman. He was highly competitive against Sam Jacobs last week, and Sam Jacobs was close to best on ground. But Grundy versus Longa. Longa is going to see a whole lot of the MCG, and Grundy loves folding forward when he wins a tap out, and he can easily be a target very quickly after contesting a centre bounce. I think that'll provide a real challenge for the Saints ruckman, Billy Longa. Dane Swan is playing more forward than he has previously in his career, but if he just gets motoring and grinding, it's hard to know who can go with he. If Pendlebury... Now, there's question marks over Pendlebury and Adams. If either of them didn't play, I think it's a toss of the coin.
What about Cloak? Yeah, he doesn't strike you as a potential...
Yeah, he always is. If they get enough good service out of the middle, then he becomes a very dangerous individual. Jesse White is... We wait. But he could...
He was okay against Brisbane.
Yeah, he was okay last week. He's not.
He's got to be better than okay, though, doesn't he?
Well, he does in a team that Fasolo's already been dropped, that has a forward line. Goldsex folds forward as a defensive type of player, but he didn't do a whole heap. They need those two to kick goals. So I think as named, although they're missing plenty of players, Collingwood. Ben Reid's not there.
Mm.
Keefe and Thomas were unbudgeted for disasters. Sidebottom's injured. Greenwood's not playing.
Seems to be the
Sinclair's not playing.
Well, it seems to be the story of Nathan Buckley's entire tenure as coach, doesn't it?
Pretty unfortunate. In almost every corner he turns around, there's a bit of bad luck waiting, but he hasn't moaned about it. He gets on with the business. I think as named, Collingwood is ahead of St Kilda, and I'm tipping the Maggies.
Yep, likewise.
As named, with all fit, Pendlebury or Adams doesn't play, they fold back. You know, they can't afford to not have another mid-quality midfielder in that team go down.
I get the feeling this game will be a bit of a grind too. Do you think St Kilda will try and, you know, sort of box them up?
No, not at all. That's not how St Kilda play anymore. St Kilda, now, they tried it last year and it works for a quarter and then it can go very quickly. St Kilda, as we saw on Saturday night, hard attack on the ball and a very attacking team. In fact, when Gold Coast were coming back, they didn't know how to slow the game down. I'm thinking, boys, please, just one backwards kick. No, it's all... You're not going to get much boxing in from the likes of Loney and Sinclair and Stephen. No, it's not that sort of team.
Well, give us a margin.
17 points.
Yeah, I'll go 25.
Let's take a break. And when we come back, the Crows and Melbourne. I remember about this time last year talking about the Crows and Melbourne as one of the great lay-down mazairs of all time. Well, it didn't happen. Could we get an upset this week? We'll find out what Rowan thinks after the break.
League teams, Adelaide.
We're the pride of South Australia. We're the mighty Adelaide.
Melbourne.
It's a grand old flag. It's a high-flying flag. It's the emblem for me and for you. It's
Matt Granlund and Kevin Bartlett will be there. He's here, he's there, he's everywhere, Matty Granlund. Daryl Wakeland special comments. The game is at Adelaide Oval on Saturday afternoon. Adelaide, $1.09. Melbourne, $7.25. Here are the Crows from the back line. Are you really? Luke Brown, Daniel Talia, Rory Laird, Jake Kelly, Hartigan and Brody Smith, named on the halfback flank, we wait to see. A centre line of Ricky Henderson, Scott Thompson and Matthew Yench. Half forward line, Cam Ellis-Yolman, Taylor Walker and Charlie Cameron. A forward line of Eddie Betts, Patrick Dangerfield and Tom Lynch. The ruck division reads Sam Jacobs, Rory Sloan and Nathan Van Berlo. An interchange of David McKay, Richard Douglas, Josh Jenkins and Matthew Wright. The emergencies are Jared Lyons, Matt Crouch and Mitch Grigg. Into the side comes Jake Kelly and Scott Thompson. And out of the side for the Adelaide Crows, Kyle Chaney with a hammy. And Mitch Grigg has been excused from senior service this week.
It's a funny way of putting it. Let's have a look at the Demons from the back line. Colin Garland, Lyndon Dunn, Jeremy Howe. Halfbacks, Neville Jeddah, Tom McDonald, Christian Salem. Centre line, Daniel Cross, Heritia Lumumba, Sam Frost on a wing. Half forward line, Dean Kent, Jesse Hogan, Bernie Vince. Full forward line, Jeff Garlett, Chris Storrs and Jack Watts. The ruck division, Mark Jamar, Tom Tyson. I was about to.
Now that's a spoonerism.
Yeah.
And I've been working on AFL spoonerisms. Do you know who the best player in the AFL is?
Harry Gablett?
No, Fat Knife. The Fat Knife.
That's
is
the first time I've ever done that. Anyway, the rucks again.
I'm glad you did.
Mark Jamar, Dom Tyson and Nathan Jones. The interchange bench, you've thrown me, Aaron Vandenberg, Ben Newton, Angus Brayshaw, Jay Kennedy Harris, and the emergencies, Viv Mitchie, haven't seen much of him, Jack Grimes, still can't get a game, and Jake Spencer. Just the one change, coming in, Jay Kennedy Harris, and out, it's a big out, Jack Viney with a fracture of the leg, and they're saying about 4 weeks minimum, so very costly for the D's.
It's hard to go past the Adelaide Crows. They have been powerful, bully-like, and I think they'll get... I think their time will come. Not, I'm saying...
They'll get theirs, you mean?
They're very fit. Phil Walsh has said that we've this huge fitness base, and Adelaide... Port Adelaide before them, but Adelaide famously under Neil Craig would peak too early and had early exits from finals when they appeared to be set to shake the thing by the neck. At the moment, they are super fit. They're powerful. They look like they're just going to steamroll Melbourne. I just wait for the game when things are not clicking perfectly for them, because it's a side that things do not always click perfectly for. I don't think it's this game. I'm tipping the Demons, but I'm watching with great interest just to see the first quarter when all the goals don't go through and all the fans aren't cheering and there's the murmurings and the hubbub, because when there's hubbub, Adelaide Crows can quickly fall back to bad habits. I tip them. They've got Dangerfield. They've got Sloan. They've got plenty of champs. I tip them, but Melbourne should go there and their fans should watch this game knowing that they are far from invincible.
Although we did, my mind goes back to 2012 under Brenton Sanderson. I think we said similar. We kept waiting for the collapse that never came, really. So, no, I'm really impressed with the Crows. How can you not be? It's amazing the role reversal they've done with Port too, isn't it? Port was flavour of the month. People were worried about Adelaide becoming, not irrelevant, but, you know, sort of the poorer cousin, if you like. And they've both, Port seems to have forgone some of that defensive stuff, and Adelaide has really embraced it. And they already had a potent forward set up, and I think that's really added to it. So I think they, you know, look to be quite colloquial about it, finally. I think they'll kick their ass.
And that's how it reads. It does read like the potential big bashing. Melbourne went there last season and scored an unlikely victory. So they're not scared to head over there.
I'll say this. If you're looking for an Achilles heel with the Crows, a potential Achilles heel, it could be their defence, maybe.
Well, that's where they mark themselves as being most vulnerable. Obviously, Talia is the linchpin, but beyond Daniel Talia, they are hoping for big things from Hartigan, and they need big things from Hartigan.
They do.
And then they wait to maybe use Podsy Adley as a backup defender because there's no spot for him in the front half.
Yeah, well, that could make sense, couldn't it? The D's, I wrote a column about them after their first win. That's how impressed I was, and boy, did it turn ugly last week. It's a real indictment on a side to get that sort of lead and then give up 9 goals to 0.
It was very disappointing how quickly, when GWS came at them, they
folded.
Well, they resorted to old bad habits. It was as though, oh, there they are.
Yes.
And that's bad because they don't want to revert back to the bad times, and they really need to guard against it.
And you would have thought the influx of senior players, you know, it's what, 13 or 14 from other clubs now, you would have thought that would have been nipped in the bud to a certain extent. But I guess some of the young players have had such a bad example for so long that it's easier to fall into those bad habits. So, I mean, they'll be better than that. But, yeah, picked a bad time to be playing the Crows.
It's a really bad time to play the Crows. I mean, there's not a person in Adelaide who barracks for the Adelaide Crows who wishes the game wasn't starting now and going for 138 quarters. They just can't get enough of them. They're drooling.
Yeah.
This is not going to be the week when the drool dries up, but that week will come. And I'm not saying they won't bounce back from it, and this coach will work his way through that. But best of times, worst of times with Adelaide. At the moment, we're enjoying best of times. I don't think Melbourne's going to change that dynamic.
Do you reckon right now, is there a more sort of potent forward set up in the competition than the Crows right now?
It looks dang potent. I think Hawthorn's forward setup is always the best. The way it sets up with Roughhead, who can lead and take one-on-one marks. Gunston, who's a sort of peripheral vision option, if you're happy. And then Bruce, who can call on various powers to kick a goal. A ruckman folding forward, even though Hale's not in the mix at the moment. Segler's good in that position.
Mm.
Rioli.
Puopolo. They've even got, like, most forward setups talk about a balance of sizes. They've even got that within their little guys, haven't they? They've got Bruce, who's sort of the taller little guy, and then you've got Rioli, who's more flexible, and then you've got the little terrier Puopolo. So,
you know, when the ball goes down there, it's like, how shall we score this goal? Should it be the traditional mark and kick? No, I think a spectacular, you know, they're tapping the ball and they can do a lot of stuff, that Hawthorn forward line.
However, they still lost last weekend. Anyway, getting back on point.
Oh, they're playing, isn't
it? I don't. Well, the power of the competition. I don't think the Crows at the moment are that far behind. Interesting, Paddy Dangerfield named it full four. But you got Walker, Lynch.
Oh, yeah, it's a
Jenkins.
Beauty. It's a beauty with Dangerfield down there.
Betts. He's an interesting one, Betts, isn't he? I mean, the Carlton supporters looking at it and going, geez, we could afford to pay Daisy 750 grand, but we couldn't afford to pay Eddie 500.
You know, forget Eddie bets, Carlton bets, and losers on that one. Adelaide for mine.
Adelaide, very, very comfortably for mine.
A break will be taken, and then when we return, we roll on to many other fascinating games this round. The odds may be disparate, but I think the story's in just about every game. So keep listening. A full hour of League Teams with Cohan Ronnelly when we return.
League Teams, Carlton.
We are the Navy Blues. We are the old dog Navy Blues.
Essendon.
See the farmers fly up, up to win the premiership flag.
Let's have a look at the two teams. The odds, by the way, Carlton $4.75, Essendon $1.19, says sportsbet.com.au. From the back line, the Blues read Lachie Henderson, Michael Jamieson, Zach Tui, Sam Doherty, Andrew Walker, and Kieran Byrne are the halfback flankers. Pretty Irish-sounding backline, that one. Centre line of Andres Everett, Patrick Cripps, Chris Yaron. Half forward line of Dennis Armfield is back in the team. he has frustrated the coach from time to time. Liam Jones and David Ellard. Forward line of Mark Murphy, Levi Casbolt and Cade Simpson. The ruck division of Cameron Wood, Bryce Gibson, Chris Judd. Interchange Tom Bell, Andrew Carazzo, Ed Curnow and Sam Rowe. The emergencies are Dylan Buckley, Jason Tutton, Mark Wiley. In Andrew Walker, Kieran Byrne, Patrick Cripps and Dennis Armfield. Omitted Clem Smith and Jason Tutt. out injured. Simon White with a knee for a month, and Troy Menzel's calf hasn't come up. Kieran Byrne, the Irishman, will play his first game.
Let's look at the Bombers. Big win last week. Can they back it up from the back line? Michael Hibbard, Cale Hooker, Mark Baggerley. The halfbacks, Brent Stanton, Jake Carlisle and Dustin Fletcher. Centreline, Travis Collier, Job Watson and Zach Merritt. Half forwards are Brendan Goddard, Patrick Ambrose and Martin Gleeson. Full forwards, Adam Cooney, Michael Hurley, Joe Danaher. The rucks, Tom Bell Chambers, Jakey Melksham and Dyson Heppel. Interchange, Paul Chapman, Ben Howlett, David Zaharakis and Jason Ashby. And the emergencies, Kyle Langford, not far off a game, James Gwilt and Courtney Dempsey. Just the one change, coming back, the veteran Dustin Fletcher, and out, maybe a little stiff, James Gwilt. And Brendan Goddard finally playing his 250th. And Ben Howlett playing his 100th.
94291116. This hour we'll take calls, give away prizes to calls that warrant it. The SMS screams, rebuild! And Glenn in Point Cook has rung in to take up the discussion. Good evening, Glenn.
G'day, Finey. How you going?
I'm well. The floor is yours, brother.
Excellent, brother. All right, look, just a couple of points. Number one, I want to make this really clear to everybody that's out there, any Carlton supporter, we don't rebuild at Carlton. We renovate, Finey. We don't rebuild.
It's the block, now, it's the block all over again.
Now, listen, I'm telling you. Now, all right, I don't want to sound, you know, condescending or anything like that, but sides like St Kilda, okay, now don't take it personally. I'm just making an academic comment. St Kilda, the Bulldogs, you know, they have to rebuild, Finey, okay?
You're spot on. I agree entirely. Carlton doesn't rebuild. Because
they're coming from such a position of strength.
No, which is why Armfield and Ellard are playing. It's why Armfield is in the side. It's why he's been recalled. It's why Carrazzo is still in the side. And it's why Dylan Buckley, again, is an emergency and their controversial number one draft pick of 2014, Blaine Bokhurst hasn't got a game because they don't naturally rebuild. You are spot on.
But I'll tell you what, I've got a plan, a solution, okay? And it's simple. And it doesn't require a lot of energy. All it is, we rebuild one person. One person only. That is the mighty mustache man himself. Because you know what? We've got talent on that list, Arnie. There's talent there. And I'm telling you, we don't need a rebuild. All we need to do is be calm and just give Malthouse his marching orders and everything will be okay.
How are the poker...
How
are your poker machines going, Bruce?
Yeah, I can't tell, Glenn. Are you actually being serious or sarcastic?
No, I'm being very serious.
Really?
I can tell you now, this side has talent. These players are very, very able to compete for short periods of time when they play a very attacking... creative game plan.
Well, so are St Kilda. They're able to put good footy together for short periods of time. Really? I mean,
St Kilda's not the discussion. The discussion here is your opponents this week in Essendon because you haven't been able to handle your first two opponents. And the question is whether that team is talented compared to AFL opposition. And you don't have...
But Glenn, you
don't have Heppel, you don't have Hurley, you don't have Watson, you don't have Hooker, you don't have Carlisle, you don't have Merritt, you don't have Ambrose. You don't have anywhere near the talent that you'll be playing against, so you're going to have to find something else, and that something at the moment, simply the emotional kit bag that footballers reach into when they're not as talented as their opponents but can get a result, Carlton hasn't even unzipped it yet. So
I'm sorry, Glenn, I hope this doesn't sound rude, but this is sounding like a parody of everything that Carlton is sort of trying to eliminate from their cultural fabric at the moment because they're not in a position of strength. They do have to rebuild. The club has said so itself. And it's not just a click of the fingers job, change of coach and everything will be right. It won't be.
Your prize will be tomorrow night's result. Let's go to Frank in Sydenham. Good evening, Frank.
Hello, guys.
Oh, not tomorrow night. So it'll be Saturday afternoon. You'll have to wait for your prize, mate. Yes, Frank.
Hey, guys. Really, really quick question. We're talking rebuild at Carlton, yet the same names keep getting a game. Armfield, 27. Carrazzo, 32, 33.
I thought you were doing their jumper numbers.
it's just frustrating when you've got, fair enough, Glenn got a game, or the Irish kid, whatever his name is, got a game, but please don't tell me he's better than a Buckley or a Bokhurst or a Wiley. I mean, Buckley, Buckley will start in last week's game against the under-18s, but I think he kicked a couple of goals. He had a couple of goal assists. What did this kid have to do to get a game? I can't fathom how he doesn't get a game. And the second point is, we go into a game every week too defensive. He goes in with four taggers every week, normally five, but White's not playing this week. So he's got Allen, Carrazzo, Kernow, and White every week play a tag. That's a quarter. That's nearly a fifth of your side that's tagging and defensive before they even run out. Now, how's that for mindset for the team? When he was at Collingwood, he didn't play one tagger. But at Carlton, he chooses to play four or five. I just don't understand the reasoning behind it, to be honest.
And he's been like that. He's viewed the Carlton list like that ever since he's got there. Despite all the bravado at members-only functions and various interviews, by dint of how he coaches the team and how he selects the team, Mick doesn't have much belief in that team.
It's selection that he's most conservative on. There's no question about that. But I know, I've asked him about this. I know he has the view that you can't throw too many of the kids to the wolves at once.
Yes, you can.
Well, he thinks you can't.
You can, though, because what are you protecting by not throwing them to the wolves? By throwing them to the wolves, there's every chance Carlton will finish in the bottom two.
Hmm. Oh, well,
By not throwing them to the Wolves, he could pump them all the way up to 10th.
Where's
the rub?
You know what part of this is, though, Finey? This is the price you pay when you're a proud, traditionally successful club and you hit the skids, that you get all this incessant noise around the club. And it dogged Richmond for the best part of 30 years.
And spot on.
I think it's part of Carlton's issue
We don't rebuild at Carlton.
But you hear it from Mark McClure. You know, I mean, they've all got to bite the bullet. And I agree. I certainly accept the opinion that Mick has been reluctant to do that. But, I mean, it's more than about Mick. This is about list development over the course of four or five years.
Mick is not the coach they need right now. Mick was recruited to the club. He superseded Brett Ratten, who took them into the finals. He was supposed to be the man to take over the reins of a finals team and turn them into a premiership team.
Yeah.
And that is...
The goalposts have shifted.
That is at the heart of why Carlton supporters have this ill feeling. They feel nauseous when they see teams like Bulldogs and St Kilda, who they may at the moment be able to beat in a single afternoon, but are clearly ahead of them in the life cycle of a football club because they've got optimum value for some players. Ryan Griffin has gone, Brendan Goddard's gone, and they're already moved on. And I can tell you, as supporters, it's a whole lot of fun to go to the football and see your team, even from the very bottom, start to improve. And it also, I know this as well, it's also horrible to see your team slowly declining. And at the moment, they're in a slow decline. And what annoys Carlton supporters is that they're not declining from anything.
It's a catch-22, though, isn't it? The Bulldogs and St Kilda are clubs that can do that and only cop a certain amount of flack. Carlton does that, and they're getting belted by close to 100 points.
No, there's a reason why. Because they're not doing it from any... This team never achieved anything. St Kilda made two grand finals and went within a whisker of winning a flag. And Bulldogs were in preliminary finals. They went as high as they could, which was very high. Not to the summit.
2-11, yeah.
And they go back down to rebuild. It annoys Carlton supporters that they never got anywhere. And now they have to rebuild.
They've been far too slow to admit their position. My point is, having admitted it, now everyone's got to not have the view that our previous caller had, which I'm still reckon he was taking the you-know-what.
Yeah, he just did it in an odd manner. It wasn't a complete satire. Your selection in this game, and why we haven't spoken about the Bombers. They've been much spoken about in the last couple of weeks. Great win. Great.
Well, it was one for the ages, really. I don't know where they found it from, but just talking to a few people there this week, I mean, they're very intent on backing it up, which is famous last words. But, I mean, these are the games that in the last couple of years have been problematic for them. And I think that they'll win this one reasonably well.
They're due for a bit of a flattening of the emotions. But it'll come. I think they can comfortably handle this game.
On form, they certainly should. I mean, Carlton Essendon games have had a history of defying the form lines, haven't they?
But how can they defy it? Hurley's in great form. Carlton, at best, can throw up a couple of forwards. If Jamieson goes forward, then... not Jamieson. If Henderson goes forward,
Walker's a handy in.
I'm saying, and so Hurley will play on a Walker. They've got the Dulling. They can absolutely handle whatever Carlton put up forward. They've got them in the midfield. They're bigger, strong. Watson and Heppel are big-bodied, brilliant midfielders. They beat them all over the ground. And even if you allow for an expected drop in intensity and understandable after a month of emotional off and on field matters, some decrease in output, allowing for all of that, Essendon should win and will win and win.
You know, just another one on the mindset we're dealing with here. Someone says, do not compare St Kilda or Footscray two premierships to Carlton. Should never be used in the same sense. Well, if you want to...
If it's a matter of history, then the Mesopotamians are still one of the most powerful nations on the planet. And I won't name her, but the first girl that I ever, you know, did the vertical limb, you know what, with, was fantastic. But the problem is, we're talking many, many years ago. She don't look the same, and Carlton ain't the same, and Mesopotamia don't exist. So, past history.
What competition are Mesopotamia in now?
Pun?
What competition?
The
Neufel.
Yeah.
Right, okay, there's another club I
haven't heard of. Silly. And you get it all the time. You know, we've got 16 premierships. Well, you know what? Don't go to the footy. Go to...
Well, Collingwood's got 15, haven't they? And,
well, don't go to the footy. Just go to... What's it called now?
YouTube?
No, it's not Visi Park. It's something Park.
Oh, Victoria Park.
No, Carlton. Where do they play?
Oh, it's Icon Park.
Yeah, well, that's a good name for it. Go there. Don't go to the footy on the weekend. Go there. It's a beautiful cabinet. Jason Johnson's cafe is right across from it. Sit down, buy a meal off an Essendon champ, and look at the 16 Premiership Cups, if it's that
important. Well, there's a few
to you.
Clubs in that position.
Yeah. I mean, honestly.
The Bombers aren't that far. I mean, the Bombers haven't won for 15 years.
Honestly, I mean, you know, if you're going to resort to... This is what we've done, not what we can do. Then you've lost the argument.
Well, there in a nutshell is Carlton's biggest problem, I think.
Well, their biggest problem on the weekend is Essendon, and Essendon will win. Let's have a look at the Swans and the Giants.
League teams, the Sydney Swans. GWS Giants.
Boris Yeltsin at Barrack for the Giants. No question about it with that club song.
Big derby. Finally, you excited about this one? The Battle of the Bridge?
So this is a derby, but it's a derby over in Perth. I guess that's all about the tyranny of distance. In this game, well, let's have a look at the teams first and start with the Sydney Swans. From the back line, Nick Smith, Ted Richards and Reece Shaw. Half-back line of Jared McFay, Heath Grundy and Dane Rampey. Craig Bird, Josh P. Kennedy and Dan Hannabury off the midfield. Lewis Jetta, Lance Franklin and Harry Cunningham on the half forward line. Isaac Heaney, Kurt Tippett and Sam Reed are the full forward line. Mike Pike, Luke Parker and Kieran Jack, or Pike Mike, Puke Larker and Jiren Kack are the on-ball division. Jeremy Laidley, Jake Lloyd, Gary Rowan and Dean Towers interchange. And the emergencies of George Hewitt, Ben McGlynn and Sam Naismith, Harry Cunningham in for the omitted Adam Gibbs.
Do you want to do a whole team of spoonerisms? Could get into trouble. And
I like one that just came through from Brett St. Albans. Bed clues. Well, here's one that's happy to go to sleep right now.
All right. Let's go have a look at the Giants from the back line. Aidan Corr, Phil Davis, Heath Shaw. Halfbacks, Nick Haynes, Joel Patful and Tom Scully. Yeah, there he is. What happened to Tom Scully? Centre line, Reece Palmer, Callan Ward and Thomas Bugg. The half forwards, Lockie Whitfield, Jeremy Cameron and Ryan Griffin. The full forwards, Devon Smith, Cam McCarthy and Dylan Scheel. The rucks, Shane Mumford, Adam Treloar and Toby Green. The interchange, Josh Kelly, Nathan Wilson, Stephen Coniglio and Andrew Phillips. The emergencies are Jed Lamb, Matt Bunteen and Zach Williams. Just the one change coming in, Andrew Phillips for Adam Tomlinson, who'll be out for some time with a toe injury.
What a good game this is. Both teams undefeated. I wonder whether the Sydney public will embrace it. They might not even know it's happening.
Twilight Saturday, it's a worry.
We embrace it because we are sending Brett Phillips and Nathan Thompson to call, and the odds, $1.12 for the Swans, the Giants are $6.25. They're off to a good start, the Sydney Swans, and that's something that they haven't done in recent years. Of course, they lost the GWS round one last year. Rowan, what do you think will transpire when the two, in the Battle of the Harbour Bridge... That's a tortured...
It's not the Harbour Bridge, though, is it? Isn't there another bridge that it's supposed to be battling over?
I don't know. There are other bridges there,
aren't there? Oh, apparently. Something close to Parramatta.
Battle of some road that is clogged permanently.
That's all of them.
Yeah. How can we talk? Yesterday morning, I drove over my curb and hit my tyre. And as a result, the Monash Freeway was not moving for 3 hours.
I've got to go on it every day. What I think will happen... Look, I don't think it'll be a flogging. I mean, the Giants have started really well, haven't they? They can't have done a lot. They weren't overly impressive in round one, and they weren't overly impressive for a half last week either. But boy, when they hit the accelerator, she flew. And the Swans, well... got it together just in time in round one, and terrific from the start against Port.
At three-quarter time in round one, the Swans, you could hardly imagine what they'd do in the next five quarters, would you?
Sadly for me, no. They've got their A going back, haven't they? There's no doubt about that. The goods thing, obviously, is a bit of a talking point here, isn't it? And interesting that he doesn't seem that keen on the sub role. But they can afford to be without him at the moment. Cunningham's a very, very good inclusion for them.
Did you ever think you'd come to the point where Brett Goods would be playing in an AFL side and Adam would be in the NEFL side?
Probably not. No, it would have been fairly...
If I was Brett, I'd be ringing him up tonight. So, what time are you waking up, mate?
The on-ball duels here will be particularly interesting, won't they? Because the Giants, it's a pretty good crew now, isn't it? And they're pretty consistent. Callum Ward, we were talking before about the Giants for the Gold Coast, but of all those imports from other clubs, Callum Ward's been the pick, hasn't he?
Hard as a cat's head.
Yeah.
I've never had much to do with cats, but he's hard.
How did someone discover that cats' heads were hard? I shudder to think, really.
Probably accidentally dropped a golf ball on it and it bounced straight back up to him.
Do you know, there's an episode in The Wire where, just incidentally, there's a little kid pouring petrol over a cat about to set it on fire. And it's just like in the background there, like you're not even supposed to comment on it. It's just...
That's why I don't watch such a violent and horrible show. What a terrible notion.
Best TV show ever made. Best TV show. Gladesville Bridge, that's it. Armoured from Epping, thank you. I don't think it'll be a belting, because I think the Giants, and historically I don't think the Swans have belted them either. They did in the very first game, but of course GWS memorably beat them in that first game last year. I think it'll be pretty solid, but I think the Swans, you know, strength and experience will prevail. Tippett and Franklin up forward. Not that the Giants aren't bereft of decent forwards either. Ken McCarthy, he's shaping up as one of the good stories of this year already, isn't he?
Yeah, another bunned.
Yeah,
forward.
Yeah. Except the bun. Lose the bun, Cam, I think. So, look, I think the Giants will stick with them for at least 2.5 quarters, but I reckon the Swans would end up winning by about 7 goals.
Master and apprentice will maintain their relative positions in the feudal system that is AFL football. Sydney will not, I agree, they will not dominate them, and they will see the future rushing towards them at various times in the afternoon. But when the final siren goes, status quo will have been maintained.
You're big on your history tonight, aren't you? Mesopotamia, the feudal system.
I can't say folding forward anymore, so I've got to come up with other versions.
The feudal system. Other versions. You made me think of Life of Brian.
It's time for an advertisement. When we come back, now here's a game that is vital for both of these sides. North Melbourne and Port Adelaide, fascinating clash.
League teams, North Melbourne.
So join in the chorus and sing it one and all. Join in the chorus, North Melbourne's on the ball.
Port Adelaide.
We've got the power to win, power to rule. Come on, Port Adelaide aggression.
It's a big game, you bet it is, on Saturday night at Etihad Stadium. North Melbourne are taking on Port Adelaide. North Melbourne, $2.10. Port, $1.73. And this is North Melbourne from the back line. Luke McDonald, Scott D. Thompson, Michael Ferrito, Sean Attlee, Brent Harvey, and Sam. I'm not going to read out teams anymore. If they're going to put Brent Harvey at centre-half back, then I'm not reading out the teams.
He must have been playing with the guy whose jumper you just showed before him.
The little mini jumper there. Why would I go to the effort of reading the teams out, North, if you're going to be silly about things? But yeah, Brent Harvey is named at centre-half back. He's the best centre-half back North's had since Glenn Denning, by the way. He's a champion.
Plays tall.
Yeah, it worked for Archer. He was outsized. They thought they'd try Boomer. A centre line of... Now they can just put him anywhere. The centre line... You know what the centre line should be?
Todd Goldstein.
Yeah, Todd Goldstein on a wing.
Drew Petrie.
And...
Ben Brown.
And Ferrito on that. So the centre line is... So why do they put Wells on the wing? He's a wingman. The centre line of Wells, Zeeble, and Sam Gibson. The half forward line is Kane Turner, Jared Waite, and Sean Higgins. And the forward line, full forward line of Lindsay Thomas, Drew Petrie, and Ben Brown. The ruck division is Todd Goldstein, Ben Cunnington, and Andrew Swallow. The interchange, Ryan Bastinek, Robbie Tarrant, Robert Nahas, and Mason Wood. The emergencies are Brad McKenzie, Joel Tippett, and Ben Jacobs in. Bastinek and Tarrant out. Tippett omitted, Del Santo hamstring, and respect for the teams has retired.
Well, let's see if Port's come up with a more realistic lineup. Still winless after two games. From the back line, Jack Hompsch, Alapati Carlisle, Jackson Trengove. That's pretty legit. Halfbacks, Jasper Pittard, Tom Jonas, Matthew Broadbent. See, the Power are taking this seriously. Centres.
Sure, it's not Tom Jones.
Delilah. Jared Pollock, Brad Ebert, and Aaron Young.
Now, who's the centre half forward? Because they could get a real height advantage here.
The half forwards are Robbie Gray. Justin Westhoff has got the job on Boomer. And Chad Wingard on the flank. The full forwards, Hamish Hartlett, Jay Schultz, and Matty White. The ruck division, Paddy Ryder, Travis Boak, and Ollie Wines. The interchange, Angus Monfries, Kane Mitchell, Brendan Archie, and Nathan Cracker. And the emergencies...
Now that's interesting.
Yes, it is.
Isn't that interesting? Nathan Cracker.
And the emergencies are Tom Cleary, Kane Corns, what's going on there? And Andrew Moore. Coming in, Aaron Young, Kane Mitchell, Brendan Archie, and...
Bless you.
Nathan, I was going to do that, and then I thought it's not culturally sensitive. Nathan Cracker.
I'm not.
No. And out, Jarman Impey, someone with two surnames, with a hamstring.
Jarman and Impey.
Yeah. Kane Corns, rested... After two rounds, that's a bit of a worry. Jake Need omitted and Jared Redden omitted. New is Brendan Archie.
Bless you.
And Brad Ebert playing his 150th game.
I'm sure there'll be a complaint lodged with the management at some point. It's a big... Hey, if you want to complain about me, take a number. You're in a long queue. They'll get back to you next year.
I think you should be the recipient of those four bags that were left outside.
They're garbage bags, not little bags of stuff. So, North Melbourne take on Port Adelaide. What an important game for both of them. If people think that only Port Adelaide are under the pump, not so, because North Melbourne have, in two games, been flakier than a gummy shark. They need to play with substance. And they're going to be under pressure here because Del Santo's not playing. And whilst he's, you know, not the absolute superstar in that side, he's a working part of the midfield. And they come up against Port Adelaide desperate to bounce back. You could go either way on this one in terms of selection. And I'm going with North Melbourne because Fortress Etihad simply has to be Fortress Etihad again. And even though they are... at the moment, hard to draw a line around. Under them?
Around?
They're hard to work out. There's no reason to believe that they still don't love playing at Etihad.
No, well, that's interesting you raise that because, you know, I'm big on the history aspect. North has had, historically, an amazing stranglehold over the Power. They've won 21 of the 29 meetings. They've won... five of the last six. And the other point here is Port, in recent times have just stunk it up at Etihad. They've won. They've only won two of their last 12 games at Etihad. Now, I don't know.
Were they both against St Kilda?
No, they beat...
They beat St Kilda there.
They beat Carlton in round one, and St Kilda must have been the other one. And the last one there last year was against Richmond, and they lost.
That was a cracking game. That was when Matt White kicked that goal.
Yeah.
Chaplin went forward and kissed the Volvo badge, thinking it was some Richmond. Just, yeah, I love...
How do you even remember that?
Because I was sitting 10 feet away from it in the Richmond cheer squad.
He likes, his Volvo.
I was sitting in the Richmond cheer squad with my daughter, who was... on the back of something I said, yelling at Jasper Pittard. Do you know what she was yelling at him?
No.
What did McMillan do to you? Well, he was once Jasper McMillan Pittard. And when I see Jasper Pittard, I said, what did McMillan do to you that you've just dropped that half of your name?
Oh, really?
She started yelling.
Made it easier on the callers. Yeah. Anyway, look, North has undoubtedly been a bogey side for Port, and the venue is an issue. Now, having said that...
Let me say this.
I just think it's too important for Port not to win this one. You have a look at their the upcoming games. They've got Hawthorn, they've got Adelaide, and North Hawthorn, Adelaide. So they could conceivably be zip and five if they don't win this one. And I don't think there's much coming back from there. As good as they are,
there's no top four from there.
Be hard.
Yeah,
be really hard.
That's where they need to be.
Yeah. And they've had these, Ken Hinckley talked about this the other day, they've had these patches where they've lost, you know, remember in 2013 they won five, lost five, but bounced back. Last year they had a flat spot and lost six out of eight, but managed to come back. But it's different when you do it at the start because you're chasing tail.
The one thing is that in their resurrection years, the last couple of years, they've been the fittest team at the start of the year. Maybe they're just now doing what the pros do, Sydney and Hawthorn. And saying, we don't have to be the fittest team in March or February. Mm. Maybe they're stepping into the season with less gung-ho-edness. Yes, it's now a word, than they did in the last 2 years.
That's possible. You know, the fitness guys hate it. The fitness guys at other clubs hate it when people talk about Port being fitter than everyone else. They say it's complete rubbish. Where they have dropped off, though, notably, Finney, I wrote about this in today's paper, was the, you know, a lot of that attacking bent that they had has come off the back of the hard work. You know, they've been really good at the contest, really good on the turnover. I think last year they were ranked fourth and second for scores from turnovers and clearances, and at the moment they're 17th in either category. So they've lost their appetite for hard work, and I think we're seeing the results. If that happens and people sit on the hard workers like, you know, say a Boak, there's a few more outside players there who don't have nearly the same impact. So I seem to be arguing for a North win, but I just think it's too important to the Power, and I think they'll win. But I think it'll be really, really close, this one.
So you're saying they've lost their appetite for destruction? They need to show patience?
They need to welcome North to the jungle.
Patience is on another album, by the way. I know that. So your tip?
I think that if Port win, they will be in Paradise City, where the grass is green and the girls are pretty.
And then you can take me home, which they prefer to play at. But you're saying they can win away from home. You go for Port, I go for North Melbourne. Let's have a look at Brisbane Lions versus Richmond.
League teams, the Brisbane Lions.
We are the pride of Brisbane's home. We're bound for home.
Richmond.
We're from Tigerland. A fighting fury, we're from Tigerland.
Brisbane take on the Tigers on Saturday night. Julian DeStoop and Brett Thomas will be there. Wayne Britton providing special comments. And I'm excited to read the Brisbane team because they've named a Lord of the Realm to play his first game of football.
Who's that?
Little Lord Fauntleroy. Wait, I love this guy's name. From the back line, Brisbane. Jaden McGrath, Matt Maguire and Justin Clark. Half back line, Jed Adcock, Marco Paparone, Rowan Buick. A centre line of Sam Mays, Jack Redden and Alan Christensen. Half forward line, Daniel Zorko, Daniel McStay and Mitch Robinson. The forward line is Harris Andrews, the third. First game for Harris Andrews. Looking forward to seeing him. Brent Staker and Josh Green. Stephen Martin, Daniel Rich and Beams are the ruck on ballers. The interchange, James H, Clay Beams, Darcy Gardner and Lewis Taylor. The emergencies, Luke McGuan, Nick Robinson and Zach O'Brien in. Harris Andrews, Brent Staker, James Aitchen, Darcy Gardner out. Omitted Ryan Lester. Omitted Zach O'Brien. Omitted Matthew Leuenberger, if you don't mind. And Michael Close, too close, says the Brisbane Football Club. The perimeter at the Etihad Stadium with the fake surface, too close for Michael.
Okay, lines up against the Tigers, whose record at the Gabba is pretty good from the back line. Troy Chaplin, Jake Batchelor, Alex Rance from the halfback line. Basha Hooley, Nick Floston and David Asprey. Centre line, Brandon Ellis, Trent Cotchin and Sean Grigg. Half forward, Stephen Morris, Shane Edwards at centre half forward for the Tigers.
But they do name in there. He sort of does play there a bit. Brent Harvey's been prepared to... setting Brent Harvey for that very ball.
Yeah, that'd be a good matchup. Chris Knights back in action on the half-forward flank.
Good on him.
And the full-forward line, Jack Riewoldt, Ben Griffiths and Sam Lloyd. The rucks, Ivan Marich, Dustin Martin and Taylor Hunt. The interchange, Chris Newman, Camden McIntosh, Nathan Gordon and Anthony Miles. The emergencies, Sean Hampson, Matt McDonough and Nathan Drummond. Coming into the Tiger lineup, David Asprey, Shane Edwards, and Chris Knights, pretty good ins. And out, Dylan Grimes with a hamstring. Kane Lambert debuted last week but hurt his shoulder. And Ricky Pettered with a foot injury.
He's out for a while. Lambert and Pettered are both out for sustained periods. And the biggest out for Richmond isn't an out because he didn't come in, is Brett Deledio.
Yes. Well, I'm wondering if they. The calf thing was a bigger issue than it first appeared when they named him in round one. But, look, the Tigers have got a pretty good record up here. A pretty scrappy win over Brisbane up there last year from memory. But I did that game last Saturday. I know you were there too, weren't you? They were ordinary, weren't they? They were flat.
They were out.
Outworked?
Yeah, they were out-desperated. Now... You know, when a footy fan turns around, oh, we just need to have more of a go, you normally take that with a grain of salt. But I think it might not have been out of place on Saturday. It was a desperate battle in the midfield. You had to work, and it was Richmond who failed to work hard enough to stop the Doggies getting out the back on a number of occasions, and they never got out the back. You know what I like, though? Jack Riewoldt had a pretty dirty day, but he still was their best option and never stopped presenting, and he got no service and had to took that great mark with the flight of the ball. He's good. And playing a team without a back line, he'll teach them a nice old lesson.
Well, I had a look during the week at, you know, what, because there's such a stark contrast between Richmond when they win and lose. You know, what is it that falls away? Now, some interesting things came up. Now, one of the biggest in terms of scoreboard involvement, Ben Griffiths, when Richmond go well, he's on the board. When they lose, he's not. Likewise with Deledio, who wasn't a factor. But Jack Riewoldt really carried the weight, didn't he? And again, that's the other thing with Richmond. When they're not playing well, they move the ball like treacle. So I think that'll be a focus during the week. Lions are in a bad place, aren't they? I think Richmond will end up having a decent win.
Well, the odds give Brisbane a chance. $2.65, Richmond $1.48. Keep an eye out for one of the strangest things you'll see in football this year, hair on Matthew Maguire's head. It just looks odd. Have you seen it?
No.
He's got hair. You know, he's always shaved his head.
Yeah. Oh, he's just grown it back.
Yeah, he's just grown it back. I guess he's come to a point in his life where he's no longer going to take the risk of shaving your head because Gary Ablett did it one day and it never came back. A break, and when we return, Hawthorn take on these precocious young dogs.
League teams, Hawthorn.
We're a happy team at Hawthorn. We're the mighty fighting boys.
The Western Bulldogs.
Okay, now for the Sunday games, we'll give you the ins and outs because the final teams have not been named. Hawthorn take on the Western Bulldogs. And Rob Waters and Nathan Thompson will call the action with Scott Lucas, Andy Maher, and Rowan Connolly will be part of the pre-match build-up. Hawthorn are $1.10. The Doggies are $7. It's short. It's in Tasmania. And the Hawks have recalled Josh Gibson, Sam Mitchell. Here's a big one. Well done, Brendan Whitecross. You're in the mix. Billy Hartung and Ryan Schoenmakers. And out of the side goes James Frawley with a pectoral muscle strain. And Jono O'Rourke has been omitted.
For the Doggies, into the squad comes Lucas Webb for his potentially his first game, Nathan Rovat, Fletcher Roberts, another double surnamed player, and Kobe Stevens out, unfortunately, because he's been playing well with a hamstring injury, Easton Wood, the new player, Lucas Webb.
For me, there are two enormous, not shocks, surprises in the Bulldog side as named. First of all, that Easton Wood is injured is such a pity. The whole thing about him, and he played well last week, was can this kid finally get a fair run at it? That is cruel luck. I feel for Easton. I feel for the Doggies. They've lost a beauty there for a little period. And I am flabbergasted that Ace Cordy has been named in the 18.
Yeah, he was pretty ordinary, wasn't he? They got absolutely monstered, both their key forwards. Tom Boyd got touched up by Alex Rance. But
Ace Cordy, I'm just surprised, you know. He really just was uncomfortable out there, and the Doggies were on top. But, yeah, name him in interchange from and work through it. But to name him straight out in the 18 surprises me. I'm sorry.
It was a good sign, though, wasn't it, for them, how they were able to conjure goals from other sources. And like you said, they got a lot out the back on the rebound.
They've got three mid-sized forwards who are all independently dangerous, and together they provide a heck of a headache because teams generally don't have three strong-bodied.
So we're talking about Dixon, Stringer and
Cramery. They don't have those strong-bodied, mid-sized, mobile backmen to go with them. Who has three of those just hanging around?
Well, it's funny. It's not unlike the setup they had for a while with Rodney Ead, wasn't it? They relied on the smaller forwards, really, and those medium-sized players. Yeah. Look, this is a great test for them, isn't it? You know, now they've beaten West Coast, they've beaten Richmond. They got Richmond on a bad day. Too good for West Coast.
It's a free hit for the Doggies.
Yeah.
They're not expected to win. They're up against the best. It's in Tassie. It's a good place to play unsociable football. It's a term that Hawthorn first uttered, and the Bulldogs are now playing it. Oh, I think it's a great free hit for the Doggies. They can go there knowing that a loss will not, as long as it's not a thrashing, but a loss will not be looked on as something
too bad, too dimly. Yeah, I think unfortunately for them, it'll be their opponent that comes out snarling, as their theme song suggests. And they're pretty handy ins, aren't they? Gibson, Mitchell, even Schoenmakers, and Wycross. That is a great story. Last game, the 2-13 preliminary final.
They play beautifully there as well, don't they, Hawthorn?
Mm. Although the Doggies have played them there a few times now, I think, and not got blown away from memory. They've been reasonably competitive, I think.
I'm very comfortable in tipping Hawthorn.
Yeah, so am I.
Let's move on to the next clash. It's the Derby. I say it's the Derby.
League teams, the West Coast Eagles.
We're the Eagles, West Coast Eagles, and we're here to show you why.
Fremantle.
So once again,
there you go, Fonny. That is the battle of the two worst theme songs in football.
And that's what I was saying.
Oh, sorry.
No, but you're spot on. How can you listen to them and not think that? Once again, we see the two most unacceptable club songs in sporting history go head to head. No wonder Dale Kickett went berserk that day.
The West Coast one particularly, I mean, at least the Dockers thing's sort of drawn from. The West Coast thing sounds like a 1980s ad for, I don't know.
Can I be honest? It sounds like something that gets constructed by Andrew Lloyd Webber. It's just talking to an inane tune. We're the Eagles. The West Coast Eagles.
Well, there was a first verse where there was some line about all you wise men from the east and a West Coast Eagle feast or something. Yeah. Anyway, it's crap.
Here I am standing on a corner. That's Lloyd Webber's work, and that was this work. West Coast have added Butler. College. Do you have to go to college to be a butler?
I'll get you, butler.
Hill and McInnes, that is Sam Butler, Brent College, Josh Hill and Fraser McInnes. Tunbridge is unavailable because of an ankle. Fraser McInnes may make a debut.
And the Dockers coming into the squad, Hayden Crozier, Tendai Mazungu, Max Duffy and Jack Hanneth, and out suspended, of course, Hayden Ballantyne. Cameron Sutcliffe playing his 50th game.
Always a good clash, and ladder positions can melt away, but Freo have owned the Eagles in recent times, and that ownership is set to continue because everything that that can't be counted by West Coast happens again in this clash. They cannot. Their big strength, of course, West Coast, is their full forward and their forward line. Well, McFarlane has no fear of playing on Kennedy. So you immediately lose the ace in the deck. And then their problem is a midfield that's not physically all that capable. When you put a nice inside mid, but then you've got Maston and Shuey and Gaff, and these guys aren't really hard-nosed practitioners. And they're up against the monster midfield of Barlow Mundo.
Spoonerism.
Even worse, that's just garbageism. Barlow, Mundy, Fife, and a few others. So Freo for mine.
Good call. I mean, the midfield, West Coast midfielders are at least starting to get a few touches now. It's not just Prudis. I mean, Gaff and Shuey have been good so far. Wellingham was better last week. Kennedy won't get, as you say, McFarlane won't mind playing on him, but they won't give him the space to begin with, which will make his job easier. And the dominance of the Dockers now, it's 12 of the last 15 derbies they've won. So early doors, I never get that. The Eagles just dominated them early on in their Freo's existence, but it's been completely reversed. So, look, the Eagles, yeah, I think I'll stick with them for three quarters, but you can't tip against the Dockers on their present form. They and Adelaide have been the two most impressive teams thus far.
West Coast 350, Freo $1.31. Tim Gossage, we'll call the action with Ben Allen and Glenn Jakovic. Special comments for SEN. One last game, Cats and Suns.
League teams, Geelong.
We are Geelong, the greatest team of all. We are Geelong, we're always
the Gold Coast Suns.
We are the Suns of the Gold Coast sky. We are one in the red, gold, and blue. We are the mighty.
In the red, gold, and blue, they wear red and yellow.
There's a tiny little bit of blue in the logo.
The red, gold, and blue. No, they don't. They wear French fry packets. Where's the blue? Geelong have got Bartell, Motlop, Murdoch, Rivers, Thurlow and Walker to consider. Dawson Simpson has been dropped. Billy Smets is suspended. And Mackey has got a quad. Hopefully it's a footy quad. And unfortunately it's not. It's a quad on his leg. Gold Coast, what's happening there?
Coming in, Trent McKenzie, Aaron Hall, Brandon Matera, Daniel Gorringe, Henry Shade, Tom Nichols, Matt Shaw, Jesse Lonigan.
Randoms.
out of the squad, Jared Harbrow with that shoulder injury, Mitch Hallahan, rib injury, Gary Ablett, shoulder injury, Alex Sexton, suspended, Greg Broughton, Achilles injury. So there's a truckload of injuries. New Henry Shade may play his first game after 23 years on the list.
He's been on the list for 4 years. Out of the shade, into the spotlight, and ready to get beaten.
Well, these are the two most out of form sides in the competition, aren't they? The Cats.
You'll see which one really is.
Yeah, well, no. Cats have to win, and they will win.
Cats are $1.18. Gold Coast are $5.20. And look, the one thing that maybe. Oh, no. No, they got no hope. Oh, just maybe that forward line could. Nah, forget it. Not now. Not here. Not now. Not on this program. I'm tipping the Suns to lose to set and not rise again this season, unfortunately. I think we're in for
that was a bit tortured, but you got there in the end.
Eclipse. They're going to be. I'm trying to work shade and Suns into some sort of sentence, but I can't.
That's all right. It's late.
No, it ain't. I've got 3 years to go.
No, it's late for me.
Loved your input.
Thank you, Fawny. Always a pleasure.